Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Delaware's Supreme Court recently upheld a law passed by the state's General Assembly last year designed to keep companies from leaving the state to incorporate elsewhere, a trend dubbed Degxit. The state faced increasing scrutiny for its corporate rules and oversight since 2024 after the Court of Chancery nixed a $54 billion compensation package for Elon Musk, and Musk in turn pulled both Tesla and SpaceX from the state. Last spring, State Senator Brian Townsend sponsored Delaware's response, Senate Bill 21, and he says he was keenly aware of the eyes on Delaware during debate over this bill.
It was a very stressful, very high-stakes few months of trying to ensure that our laws are very clearly striking the proper balance. And we knew that it could have tremendous effects, legal and economic and budgetary, in Delaware if we got it wrong. We knew that getting it right would not necessarily be something that was verifiable immediately because we figured there would be a court challenge.
And Townsend was right. A challenge to the new law came from a Clearway Energy stockholder last spring who argued SB 21 violated the state's constitution. The Court of Chancery asked the state's highest court to weigh in, and now it has, siding with the General Assembly and upholding SB 21. This week on The Green, Townsend reflects on SB 21 and where the state stands almost a year later with Delaware Public Media state politics reporter Benta Boutier.
Thanks for speaking with me today, Senator Townsend. So we know Delaware Supreme Court upheld a law that you worked on last year with the General Assembly. There were a lot of eyes on this case, as Delaware is where more than 60% of Fortune 500 companies choose to incorporate. What was it like to work on that?
And I remember very early on in the SB 21 process, before SB 21, I think, even had a number assigned to it. It might have been as we were drafting it. I got an email from an old friend who I have not talked to much over the past, that time, 21 years, I guess it was. We had not talked many times over that, but we had known each other for about 22 years. He's an attorney out in California. And he emailed me as this was all kind of launching and as the tensions were absolutely raging. And he said, "Hey, Brian, I don't know what's going on out there in Delaware, but I just want to let you know that my phone out here in California is ringing off the hook with certain kinds of companies that are all asking me of whether or not they should continue to be in Delaware or should start their business in Delaware." He said, "Something has happened." And I think that's one of the key things that had happened here with regard to SB 21. What led to SB 21 is that it felt like for the first time in essentially forever, where there was this wider spread sentiment of perhaps Delaware is not the place to be.
So the Court of Chancery took this up, but asked the Delaware Supreme Court to weigh in. Is that unusual?
Well, there are times when there are questions of law where it makes the most sense to have that question of law be adjudicated as quickly as possible, not only because of the broader implications for entities throughout the world, but also for the litigants themselves right there in the dispute. It's really helpful to have questions of law answered quickly. And this is a situation where you had both the impact on the litigation itself, as well as the impact of uncertainty all around the world, that if there wasn't clarity on this issue, it would affect a whole lot of things all over the world. And so it is not unusual, certainly not unprecedented and not unusual for there to be this process where the Court of Chancery, then up to the Supreme Court, brings clarity as to the legality, whether it's constitutional or otherwise, with regard to a pending issue.
And it sounds like you think the General Assembly's action last year has been mischaracterized as a response to Elon Musk's leaving Delaware. What did it mean for such a high-profile person to take action?
I think, very unfortunately, our governor mentioned his name very early on in the process in a way that caused people to think that that's what was on the governor's mind anyway. And I can't speak to that, but I can say that legislators were very aware this had nothing to do with any specific individual. I guess what I'd say is that I think it was pretty opportunistic of Elon Musk to, he was frustrated with Delaware for a variety of reasons. And I think there's a lot of things that he had done, or at least certain issues in the cases that he was involved in, where the court's rulings that were not in his favor made tremendous sense. I can't speak for him at all, but my sense is that he would advocate that there shouldn't be the kind of guardrails that Delaware is known for. And what the misconception of Senate Bill 21 was, this idea that we were like taking away the guardrails in a way that he wanted. And that wasn't true at all. It was that we were reaffirming the guardrails, but in a different mechanism of statute rather than having them just be in the case law that the judges have decided. But also, it wasn't just him. I mean, there were several cases involved that led to this. There were several different cases over the years that had nothing to do with Elon Musk that resulted in this. So it wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just one business. It was a combination of a few things that had resulted in the need for clarity in Delaware law. And I think basically, just like wildfires do, there's a spark that just kind of started raging. And thankfully, I believe we were able to take care of it. A lot of different segments of the Delaware ecosystem came together quickly. A key part of the system, the judiciary, then played its role and culminating in the Supreme Court opinion confirming the constitutionality of Senate Bill 21.
Delaware's new rules set statutory safe harbors for some of these corporate transactions. Defining a controlling shareholder within a company as someone who owns at least half of a company's shares or a third of shares plus managerial control. It reduces the amount of scrutiny between business leaders and their companies when there's conflict of interest. How does this better balance corporate law for Delaware?
Delaware's business friendliness when it comes to the franchise and our system of corporate law is very much the idea that you've got to be able to strike the right balance between investors' rights and protections when they're the ones owning the business. They're the investors. They're the ones, the stockholders. They own the business. It's their business. But you also need the business to be able to run practically and effectively. And so in order to do that, you've got to give management, directors and officers, you have to give them the tools to be able to run the business and take proper risks to achieve success of the business. And so it's a balance. It's a constant balance between investor rights and protections and officer and director flexibility and duties, and not having officers and directors be second guessed when they make the best decision they can make, when they educate themselves as to the business risks, they look at it, they consider it, they take the right risk to try and earn results for the owners of the company. And if it goes wrong, you can't like penalize them at the end of the day. You shouldn't penalize them at the end of the day. If they inform themselves and they were trying to do their best for the stockholders, not themselves. That's what business friendly means for Delaware. I think there are a lot of people who don't understand that, including some people who criticize Delaware heavily from within Delaware, don't understand what that is about. I mean, Delaware corporate law is not about giving tax breaks to companies. It's not about blessing like environmental pollution or, you know, businesses need to operate responsibly in our society. Delaware corporate law is not about blessing any of those ills. Delaware corporate law is about basically saying, hey, you want to own a business? You want to be an investor or a stockholder? Please, like, we want people to invest in businesses. And you're going to have certain protections. But the people who run the business also have to be able to do their jobs. And so it's all about striking that right balance. It's not about blessing any negative societal outcome. So that's what's meant by business friendly in Delaware when it comes to the Delaware corporate law.
You've said the judiciary, Court of Chancery, is the largest component to Delaware's reputation for corporate law, deciding cases fairly and predictably. Where does your role as a legislator start, as you did step in last year?
It means being prepared to act quickly if necessary, but certainly act predictably overall, year in and year out. I think that part of what has made Delaware successful, to be very, very clear, that I think the judiciary is the driving force of it. I think the industry that exists in Delaware to also be available to adjudicate these disputes is critical. But the legislature each year is involved in updating the laws, and we need to do so sort of apolitically with clarity and stability and predictability. I mean, that's what makes this industry special. It shouldn't change, frankly, much at all with whatever party is in power, whatever people are in specific offices. It really needs to be stable in delivering not only the balanced law and the books, not only the statute or the case law, the courts decide, also the ecosystem is very important. You have to have a well-functioning judiciary that's funded with the resources to do the work that it needs to do. We have to have support from the Secretary of State's office to make sure they continue to be able to provide the amazing services that have existed for many, many years in the Secretary of State's office for the broader world of incorporation. So it's both budgetary from the legislative perspective, you have to invest in the system, and then it's statutory in terms of updating the laws and showing the world that we are going to consistently be updating our laws to make sure they are the most modern and the most properly flexible for what people need out there when they're making a decision as to where to incorporate.
Other states have stepped in to update corporate laws and compete with Delaware to attract these corporations. Where do you think we'd be without Senate Bill 21?
Well, there's no way to quantify that. I think that if we had not shown the broader world that we continue to have the capacity and the commitment to step up, and that it would have been a major hit to our reputation. And I think it would have led very clearly to other jurisdictions gaining ground on us in terms of being the place where investors and businesses want to go and have their disputes be settled. So there's no way to know with certainty how quickly a greater exodus would have occurred. And there's no way to know with certainty that that there won't be a changing landscape in the coming years. And now I think it's accurate to say that there are at least two jurisdictions that are taking this very seriously and are going to try much more actively, much more thoroughly to compete with us. So the chapter of SB 21, with the Supreme Court ruling, the chapter in Delaware's corporate law history might be written, but the book's not fully written. It never will be. I mean, it'll always be another chapter added to it. We've got to stay on top of on top of our game to continue to be the place where all sides want to be. But there's no way to quantify how bad it would have gotten. So this has been a long road, the past 13 months and a week, give or take. It's been a long road, but at least on the legal side of it, there's a lot of more finality now and clarity. And now it's just a matter of Delaware and the judiciary in particular continuing to deliver results every week, every month, every year moving forward to show the world that, if you have a legal dispute in these complicated matters of fiduciary duty or contract law, that Delaware is a place that you want to be. Thankfully, we remain on target for that.
Governor Meyer released a statement last week citing business stats for Delaware. The number of incorporated entities in Delaware grew from 2.1 million in 2024 to 2.2 million in 2025, and net growth for incorporation in Delaware for 2025 outpaced the growth from 2024 in the same time period. How does this read to you? Does this sound promising?
And I think it's very important not to rely too much on present statistics either, frankly, because number one, there's a huge difference between the number of alternative entities that are here versus the number of C corps that are here, and also we've seen it. It's possible for a very small number of individuals to try and frighten the broader market. And we can't cater to just one or two individuals at all. It's got to be having fidelity to core legal principles that made Delaware the place everyone really wants to be overall, and just continue to show that that is the best way to strike the proper balance.
It sounds like you take this as some of the dust settling with Senate Bill 21. I'm wondering where you see things going from here.
We just have to be very careful that people from across the world see our system of law as predictable and stable and consistent. And that can change as there's a whole lot of new legislators. The past few years have been a tremendous turnover in the legislature. And that could be an amazing thing in so many different ways. And not at all should we be saying that there should not be the opportunity for questions and for engagement in the area of Delaware corporate law. And we've got to stay committed to that tried and true process of understanding these issues, and always been committee hearings. There's always been open discussion and debate. It takes hard work every week, every month, every year, and let's not confuse that. I mean, that it absolutely continues to be hard-earned. It really is a very, very meritorious system that we can't take for granted, and we've got to continue to earn our reputation every single day.
Thanks to State Senator Brian Townsend and our Benta Boutier for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. The Green continues with more on a University of Delaware professor's work to help test AI's capabilities. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.